felt led to share what I called a warning and a word for 2018. It's not my typical kind of sermon, but every once in a while we'll preach something like this, and I guess. But I just felt prompted in my heart to share this with you. We don't know what we're going to face through the coming year. Boy, I look back, I'm so thankful for God's provision, His financial blessing and provision for the church. You know, we've talked about borrowing funds. We've not borrowed any money so far on the building. It's come in through your pledges and your faithfulness. Thank God for that. We'll have to borrow some, but anyway, we'll give you more about that next Sunday evening. But God has blessed us. I expect God's blessing and increase to continue throughout the coming year. I'm confident of His grace and His presence that is with us, that His blessing is going to overshadow us. But I'm also quite confident of the continual attacks and onslaught of the enemy against us, the people of God. And I'm cautious. I never want to focus on the devil or give him more attention that's necessary. But it's important for you to know that the devil and the forces of hell are going to do everything they can to influence you, to defeat you, and to separate you from God and His purpose for your life. And as I prayed and prepared for this Sunday, I just felt I was to give you a warning, and then really to kind of give you four words, really, about a direction for prayer, how I'm praying and how I'm asking you to pray for yourself and for the church in the coming year. Consider how Jesus referred to the devil. He called him a thief, a liar, and a murderer. Jesus said the thief, referring to the devil, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I've come that they may have life abundantly, one version says. Let me warn you, the devil is a thief and a destroyer, so don't expect him to act any other way. He'll do whatever he can to rob you, to steal from you. He'll steal your joy. He'll steal your confidence in God. He'll steal your peace, and he'll leave in its place fear and worry and anxiety. The devil never plays fair. His one goal is your defeat and your discouragement and your destruction. You can't bargain with him, and without Jesus, you won't win. That's why you need Jesus in your heart and in your life. Years ago, we lived next door in the parsonage where Pastor Brian lives, Brian and Shauna and the family. You don't live there by yourself. I thought they would get that, but anyway. And we had left, the girls were at their grandparents or whatever, and Paula and I left just to run somewhere. And she had done the dishes and laid her wedding rings up on the windowsill or something. And anyway, we came back and someone broke in our house and they had stolen her wedding rings. They stole her jewelry box, had her senior ring, which about 3 years ago, somebody called and said, did you lose a senior ring from Daniel Webster High School? She got her senior ring back. They found it down at Reed Park somewhere. We never got those wedding rings back, but she got a little better one. I could afford a little better one by that time than when I was a 20-year-old. But anyway, they'd stolen her wedding rings and some jewelry, stole a .22 pistol that belonged to my dad and that I had. And the girls were little. I think it may have been Sarah's piggy bank. What kind of thieves break a child's piggy bank and took the money out of the piggy bank and stuff? These were not good people. The reason for the story is this. I bought a brand new pair of Nike tennis shoes. And as we looked through the house to see what was missing, I noticed in our bedroom this nasty old muddy pair of old tennis shoes sitting in the place where my Nikes had been sitting. And the thieves broke in. They actually climbed through the window in our bedroom, climbed in there, saw the shoes, sat down and took their shoes off and put my shoes on. And they fled my house with my new pair of shoes on. What I'm telling you is that's how the devil is going to treat you. He's a thief. And he'll steal your joy and steal your peace and leave you nothing but misery and grief and pain and a rotten old nasty muddy pair of tennis shoes maybe. He'll steal your confidence in God and leave you with doubt. He'll steal your future by drawing you into sin and disobedience, and then he'll get you to sin, and then he'll leave you with nothing but regret and ashes of your hopes and dreams. And that old pair of tennis shoes. He'll promise you everything and he'll leave you nothing. He's only come to kill you, to steal and to destroy. It's Jesus that's come to give you that abundant life. Let me warn you, the devil is a liar, a murderer, and a thief. Jesus said of the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies. That's an amazing way to say that. The devil is the father of lies, and that lying is the devil's native language. It's his first language. The devil's a deceiver. The truth is not found in him. You can't bargain with someone that never speaks the truth, right? Remember that old saying about, I've heard it said of different occupations, like, how can you tell that person's lying? Their lips are moving. That's how you know they're lying. If they're talking, they're lying. That's the truth about the devil. And I'm warning you that he's going to lie to you this year. He's going to tell you that you can't trust God. He's going to tell you that God's trying to cheat you out of really living. He's going to tell you that you can't trust God's word or God's preachers or God's people or God's church. He's only speaking his native language. He's lying if he's talking to you. He's going to tell you those people at church don't understand Pastor Phil, Pastor Jeff and Sarah and Brian. They don't understand you, or they don't understand your problems, or they don't understand your generation or your situation. That's the kind of lies the devil's going to tell you to convince you that you need to live another way. He'll tell you you can't afford to live God's way. He'll tell you it'll cost you financially. He'll tell you that you'll never be able to move up in position in your company if you serve God. He'll tell you that God will only deprive you of pleasure. I'm telling you, the devil is lying to you. That's all he knows how to do. He's the father of lies. He'll lie about who God is. He'll lie about God's plans and intentions, his design for your life. And if he can, he'll convince you that you're just wonderful and you don't need God and God's word and God's church and God's rules to make it. Or he'll lie to you and tell you that you're worthless, that no one cares about you, that nobody could love you, and that God doesn't care about you or love you. He'll tell you that you don't deserve God's blessing, and he'll pull you into sin and into failure. And after he does that, he'll cover you in shame, and then he'll tell you that you don't deserve God's love and that there's no way you could receive God's forgiveness and his salvation. He'll convince you to cut yourself off from the church or from the youth group or from God's people or from godly friends and family. He'll tell you in the end to just give it all up, that it's hopeless and you might as well just end it all. But I'm telling you, he's a liar and the father of lies, and the truth was never found in him. If the devil's talking to you, he's lying when he's talking to you. He'll lie about your possibilities and about your abilities in Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. But the devil will lie to you and tell you that you're a failure and that you can't possibly make it and there's no point in trying. You'll never be able to serve God. He'll pull you down, drag you down, hold you down all the way at the bottom, and he'll keep you paralyzed in self-doubt and defeat. He'll lie to you, but listen to me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus doesn't just speak about the truth. He is the truth. If you want to know truth, get to know Jesus. Listen to him and listen to his word. Trust him, because just as the devil will only lie to you because that's his native language, truth is who Jesus is. That's his native language. He's going to speak the truth, and you can trust him and you can trust his word. Believe Jesus, but don't believe the lies of the devil. Let me warn you this morning, the devil is a schemer. And he's looking for ways to influence you, to trick you, and to deceive you. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Put on the full or the whole armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The King James says the wiles of the devil. The word scheme there in that translation suggests someone that's lying in wait, ready to trick you. They're going to try to deceive you, to fool you, and to attack you. In other words, they're plotting against you. Listen to me. The devil knows your weakness. He knows your vulnerabilities. And he's looking to strike at those weak and vulnerable places in your life. He's plotting against you. Now listen to me. Listen to what I'm telling you. Look up from your Facebook for just a minute, because I know you love those kitties. But let me just tell you. If you know the devil's plotting against you, all right? If you know he's setting a trap for you, right? Do you hear what I'm telling you? If you already know that the devil's looking to trip you up and to defeat you and destroy you, then you're smart enough to not fall for that garbage and the lies and the trickery of the devil. You're smart enough to get it. If you know he's plotting against you, open your eyes, be aware, be on guard, be discerning. And as the writer of Hebrews said, don't allow yourself to get tripped up or entangled in sin and bondage. Get your guard up and wake up and don't fall into somebody's schemes. If I tell you that right outside this door, there's a bad man and he's waiting to knock you in the head and steal all your money, and what you need to do is go out any other door out of here, you're going to be all right. But I'm telling you, there's a scheme, there's a plot hatched against you. And if you go through those doors right there, you're going to lose your money and maybe lose your life. I'm telling you, I'm warning you about something. You ought to be smart enough to say, well, the guy seems to know what he's talking about. He speaks the truth. We know him. And so there's doors there and there and there and there. And you can even get out over here and you can even go up in the loft and take a fire escape. There's a lot of ways you can get out of here except that door right there. But you know what? There's 400 people in here, 450 people maybe. And out of 450 people, there's somebody that's going to just with a big old goofy smile on their face, and they're going to have their money just sticking out of their pockets everywhere, and they're going to go right out that door. Am I telling you the truth this morning? They're going to walk right on out the door. Well, I didn't hear you say anything about it. I told you to stop looking at the cats on your Facebook and listen to me this morning. I'm warning you, there's somebody out there. Oh, that's a bunch of old stuff. I don't need to hear about that. Here, Jeff, here's a dollar for you. Put that, just, I want to bless somebody. I want to be a blessing to you. All right. Sarah got two this morning. That's what fell out of my pocket. So I'm doing what I can. We're just going to walk on and act like it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what Pastor Jeff said in youth. It doesn't matter what Pastor Phil said. I'm just going to go on my way, and you ignore all the warnings. And what I'm telling you is you're going to walk right into the devil's trap. The Bible says put on the whole armor of God. Wake up, be on guard, be alert, because the devil wants to destroy you. He's a liar, he's a thief, and he's a murderer. He's not playing fair. He's not going to go easy on you. He's not backing off of you. He wants to destroy you. And I'm warning you this morning, and I'm begging with you to open your eyes and put on the armor of God so you can stand against the tricks and the schemes that the devil has for you in 2018. And then let me warn you this morning, the devil's planning to blind you so that you'll take your eyes off of Jesus. The Apostle Paul referred to the devil as the god of this age, and he says in 2 Corinthians, the god of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they can't see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. And as surely as he's blinded the minds and the spiritual eyesight of unbelievers, he's endeavoring to blind the spiritual eyes of believers. He wants to cloud our vision. He wants to cause us to set our eyes and our heart, our affection on the things of the world and things of the flesh rather than the things of God. When we do, we'll lose our way. We'll land in a ditch and there's not much hope. He's going to blind you to God's truth. He'll blind you to what's truly important in life. He'll mess up your priorities. He'll blind you so that you'll value money and fame and status and success over God and family and integrity. He'll blind you so you'll choose sin and pleasure over obedience to God and living a holy life. He'll blind you to the realities of God's kingdom, of eternal things. He'll blind you to the reality of heaven and hell. And if the devil blinds you to those realities, if he can lie to you and deceive you so you just decide it doesn't matter how you live your life, there's no hell to fear and there's no heaven to strive for and to live for and to look for, if he can blind you to that truth, he'll win the battle for your soul. He's plotting and scheming against you, and I'm doing my best to warn you, don't let him win in 2018. You're smarter than that. God's presence and blessing will guide you and lead you if you'll stay true to him. Peter warned us. He said, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Be alert, he says. They talk about situational awareness. And so they want to do training or whatever to be aware of the situation. So if it's 100 degrees outside and the guy walks in a long overcoat and looks like he's carrying a AK-47, well, you might ought to be aware of that and tell somebody that seems to know what to do about that. Situationally aware. If something looks out of place, then it might be out of place. If a guy looks like a terrorist and he says, delivery for Mr. White or whatever, and leaves, and you can hear it's got that bomb in there. It says Acme Bomb Company on this outside. That's a, anyway, I'm just suggesting Wile E. Coyote, all right? I'm suggesting that we become spiritually, we have spiritual situational awareness. What I'm telling you is, if it looks like sin, leave it alone, all right? If somebody hands you a bomb and it's already lit, don't stand there and try to figure out what it is. Hand it back, all right? Or throw it somewhere where it's not gonna do any damage. Look, if you've got a check in your spirit about something, there's a reason for that. Don't do it. Don't be there. Don't go there. Stay out of those places. Stay away from that. If God's not in it, listen to me here, one more time. Stop. Hold on the Facebook for just a second. Listen, if it goes against God's word, if it goes against what Pastor Jeff's telling you from the Bible on Wednesday night, if it goes against what your pastor and what your parents have warned you about, come on. You're 14. You're smarter than that. Don't go right ahead and go off and do something stupid when God's trying to warn you and keep you from harm. You're smarter than that. Leave it alone. Stop it. Put it down. Stop poking at a roaring lion, because Peter said he's looking for someone to devour, and you'll lose more than a finger or a hand. You'll lose your life and you might lose your soul. Stand firm in the faith and resist the devil. Listen to what I'm telling you this morning. And I know there's a bunch of it that says, boy, that's right. You preach it. Tell our young people. I wish I could go. I've had people say, I wish I could go in there and speak on Wednesday night and warn those kids, don't do the things that I did. And that's a great idea, and they can learn from that. But you know what I've discovered? It's not just telling teenagers, here's how you need to straighten up, because there's a bunch of 40 and 50 and 60-year-old people got that same goofy look on their face going out that door over there too. After I told you, you're going to get bumped off. After all those years of serving God and doing what's right, and you go out and do something stupid and sin against God, or sin against your marriage vows, or sin against your spouse, or sin against your children. God help us to do what's right and to walk through the right door and trust in the Lord and set an example for the next generation. Oh God, help us to be faithful so that these young people can say, I'm going to live my life the way those people are living, without all that stuff. Don't get yourself devoured. The writer of Proverbs said, can a man take fire into his bosom? In other words, can you take a torch and stick it inside your jacket and not get burned? No. And you can't mess around with somebody else's wife or husband or go off into sin and not be destroyed by it. Sin is going to mess you up. The first chapter of Proverbs says, if sinners entice you, don't give in to them. Don't set foot on their path. Don't listen to them. Don't go that direction. Because you know what he says? He said, because they're laying a trap for themselves. You know who falls into that net? They do. They fall into their own net. And if you don't believe that, take 51st Street down to Union and go on down downtown. Get off at 6th Street. Turn left. Go down past Lithoprint. Take another right, and you'll be right there. Great big white building with a fence around it. David L. Moss. And go in there and see if you can just say, I'd like to do a little interview with some folk in here and ask them, did you plan on getting caught when the genius plan said, we'll hold up a Quick Trip, or we'll shoot that old lady, or we'll take this stuff? Did you plan on getting caught? No. Criminals don't do it because they think they're going to get caught. Everybody thinks they're going to get away with it, and nobody does. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. I'm just about done with the warning. I'm going to get to the good part here in just a second. But I wish I could have warned those folk. And you know what? Some of them are going to get right out and say, well, I learned a couple of things. And so I won't be back for weeks, you know. Listen, you can't take fire into your jacket and not get burned. And you can't sin against God and not end up falling in the trap that you've dug. Listen to what I'm telling you. Stand firm. Resist the devil. Well, I don't think I can. You can do all things through Christ who enables you and gives you strength. I'm just trying to help you this morning. Okay, that's the warning. Here's the word. I want to share a word I believe the Lord has for us as a church. And it's actually four words, really. Some of you know we've got a new leader of the Assemblies of God in America. And I'll do this as fast as I can here. George Wood was our general superintendent for a number of years. Wonderful man. And stepped down at Anaheim in August, and Doug Clay was elected the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God in America. He said something in an interview in one of our national publications that really struck me, and it stuck with me. I read it just a few weeks ago, and I just felt it kind of stirring in my heart. He said that every day since his election in August, he'd been praying this prayer, asking the Lord, he said, for three things. And I read those three things. It just lit up something in my heart. And I began to pray the same thing. And I've added a word to that. And this morning added another word. But those three words were wisdom, discernment, and anointing. He said, I prayed it every day. Wisdom, discernment, and anointing. And then he added the word, I had added the word clarity. I've been praying those things for myself. And I'm asking you to join me. First of all, the word wisdom. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. First chapter of Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Fear of the Lord, it doesn't mean like, oh, I'm afraid of what God's going to do to me. Fear means reverence and respect. It means knowledge and understanding of the greatness of God, of His sovereignty and majesty, of who He is and what He can do. It's an acknowledgement of who He is. To fear the Lord means we have a continual awareness of Him and of His greatness and of His presence in our life. That we have a continual reverence and respect for Him and His Word. And we have a continual desire and a willingness to obey Him and live for Him. And I'm asking God for wisdom to respect and reverence Him so I'll live a life of obedience to Him. I'm asking for wisdom in order to obey His Word and to live my life in ways that will please Him and honor Him, because I don't want to mess this up. I want to finish strong in serving the Lord. I don't want to fail the Lord out of ignorance or neglect or willful sin. So I'm praying, God, grant me the wisdom to live for You and serve You and please You. Grant me the wisdom so that nothing I do will be out of Your will or Your plan or Your purpose for my life. I talked to two ladies this past week, Sister Helvey. She and her husband were the pastors of this church back in 1950. And she called, 97 years old now. She said, I don't know why the Lord's left me here, but she said, I just want to be faithful. I'm trying to help the people that live here in this retirement place where I'm at. And I just want to be faithful to do everything the Lord has for me to do. Somebody else I talked to last night, over 90, who said, you know, I've served the Lord all my life. I just want to be faithful to continue to serve Him and please Him until the day that He calls me home. Folks, God, give me the wisdom like that. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, to reverence Him, to acknowledge Him, and that we can continue to serve Him. I'm asking God for wisdom to pastor this church. Wisdom to shepherd the flock that God's placed in my care and responsibility. Wisdom to know what to preach and the messages to prepare. And I'm asking you to pray for me to have wisdom. I don't know how to do this. I've been doing it for a while, but I still don't know how to do it without God's wisdom. It's a different day and age to be pastoring a church. It's a whole different kind of issues that we deal with than it was in the 70s when I was a youth pastor. And when I started here, when I became pastor in 85, it's a different day. And I'm praying, God, I need Your wisdom to know what to say and how to say it and how to lead this church. But I'm asking you to ask God for wisdom for your life. Wisdom for you to hear and to put into practice the word that God's put in my heart to share with you. Wisdom for you to fear God and to be eager to respond and to be obedient and to seek Him and to seek all that He has for you. I'm asking you to join with me to pray and ask God to give us wisdom to be the people that He's called us to be. Not just to be the pastor, but for you to be the friend or the husband or wife or parent or grandparent or son or daughter or employee or employer or student, the boss or the co-worker that you need to be, that in every aspect of our life we'll have the wisdom that God has for us. We're praying, Lord, show us how to live for You in this crazy, mixed up world. Show us how to be the church You've called us to be and how to influence others to follow You. Show us how to fear God so that we can serve You and please You in all of our ways. We're going to have some new technology in the church as we move back in. I'm praying, Lord, give us wisdom to know how to reach more people, to use that technology to impact people for Christ, both in this building and as we live stream the services for people to see and to come to Jesus, to have an encounter with God through image as well as the Word. God, give us wisdom is our prayer. And then the second word is discernment. The Bible speaks of the men of Issachar who came to join King David when he was made king at Hebron. It describes them this way. The men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And that's discernment. To understand the times and know what we need to do. Webster's dictionary defines discern or discernment as the knowledge or ability to separate, to divide, to distinguish between, to see distinctly, to see the difference between two or more things, to discriminate, to understand, to know what to do. We need discernment. Boy, do we need discernment. The lines have gotten blurry in 2018 in our country and in our culture. And it's hard sometimes to distinguish between the world and sin and God's Word and God's truth and right and wrong. The world's tried to blur all the lines and we've lost the distinctiveness. We've lost the distinction between the holiness that God calls us to and just the getting by in the world that the devil kind of draws us to. But folks, there's supposed to be a difference between how the world lives and how the people of God lives. The world ought to be able to look and see a difference between our conduct and our conversation and our commitment and that of the rest of the world. We're the people who have taken up a cross and are denying ourselves and following Jesus. And so God, give us discernment to know how to live our lives as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us discernment to see the difference between just what pleases us and gratifies our flesh and what pleases God. Help us to know the difference between the holy and the profane, between the sacred and the secular. Give us discernment to recognize the schemes of the devil, to recognize his lies and his deceptions. Grant us discernment so we won't fall into the traps of 2018 and the snares of the devil, but we'll walk in the victory that he has for us. Grant us discernment, God, so we'll understand the times and know what to do and how to live. The third word that I want us to pray is the word anointing. Praying for anointing. And when I talk about praying for anointing, I'm referring to the grace and the power and the presence and the blessing of God. I'm asking God to allow His power and His presence to work in and through my life and through this church. Folks, anointing's not just for preachers. It's for all of us. All of us need His anointing. All of us need His power and His presence. We need His anointing if we're going to get through middle school or high school or college. We need His anointing if we're going to make it through the workplace without messing up. We need God's favor and blessing and power and anointing. I need God's anointing to pastor. As I said, I'm excited about some new technology we'll have in the new sanctuary, and I'm praying for wisdom on how to effectively use it. It's way beyond what I understand. But listen to me, technology doesn't replace the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we can preach smarter, or we can sing prettier, or we can look better, but if we don't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit and His blessing, we're just wasting our time, and we don't want to do that. We want excellence in all we do. We work hard and prepare, and the music and the message and all those things. But listen, we're not going anywhere or trying to do anything without the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives and ministry. It's the only way I know to preach or sing or play or pastor. And I'm praying, God, give us a double portion of the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon this church. Listen, I don't want to just be anointed to preach or pastor without there being an anointing upon this church, upon this congregation, to be everything God's calling you to be. I want there to be an anointing upon you to win souls and to give and to go and to minister and to impact your world and your community and your school. And I believe God's calling us to do that very thing. I believe He wants to anoint you so you win your family and your friends and those you influence to win your school to Jesus. I believe He wants to anoint this church with spiritual power and blessing like never before. And folks, when the day comes that I stop believing that, then I'll step aside and let somebody that does believe it take over, because we need to believe that God still has something to be accomplished in and through us. I'm believing for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm believing for God to show up and do what only God can do. There are still things that God showed me as a young man in a vision. I'm still believing that I'll see it as we continue on, believing for anointing, for healing and miracles and deliverance to happen in this church, to see a whole new generation of people called and sent out to be preachers and ministers and missionaries and laborers in the harvest field. I'm asking, will you believe with me and will you pray in agreement with me for wisdom and discernment and the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Somebody ought to say amen to that, or I ought to just call it quits and go home. Here's the fourth word, is clarity. Clarity means clearness, and I'm asking God to give us clarity, a clearness about who we are as His church and what our calling, our mission is all about. 17 years ago, as we moved back into a newly remodeled facility after the tornado, and we held kind of a grand opening kind of deal, and among the speakers that we had, Billy Joe Doherty, Pastor Billy Joe, and Ken Hagen Jr. spoke to us. Both of those men said they believed that God had strategically placed us here in Southwest Tulsa I remember them saying, because God intended to raise up a significant work here. After the tornado came, Billy Joe had called me and said, Phil, what if the Lord says you need to just move off that site, move out of Southwest Tulsa? You know, it's harder maybe to grow a church there. You could go further south or further east. He said, I'm just saying to pray about it. And so we did. We met in the rotunda over there at the old VBI building. It used to be Osborne Center. It's gone now. And I asked the question, is God done with us as a church? There's going to be $3 million in insurance money. We'll just give it to other churches and missions organizations. We'll win souls with the $3 million. And we'll just commission everybody and send them out to go find a church to bless across the city of Tulsa. And we'll say it's been a good run of almost 80 years. And hallelujah, or however many years it's been, 70 years, and we'll be done. And so let's pray. And then let's ask God, are you finished with us in Southwest Tulsa? Is there a new site, a new location? We don't have to rebuild anything. It's easier, trust me, it's easier to start all over than it is to try to put pieces back together and make it all fit. And so, Lord, are you done with us? And one by one, as we prayed, we began to say, what are you hearing from the Lord? And over, people said, he's not done. He's not done on the west side. He's not done with Southwest Tulsa. There are people there that are supposed to be influenced. God still has a place for us. And we said, all right, then let's do it. Let's rebuild and God will bless. And he has. And 18 years later, we're still here. We're still seeing people influenced in this community. We're still seeing children and teenagers and families coming to Jesus because we're here. We're still sending missionaries around the world, still leading the district in the top three or four churches or whatever in terms of our missions giving in spite of everything else. No, we're still making a difference here because it's what he called us to do. We're not here by accident. And guess what? You're not here by accident either. God has you here as a part of this church for a reason. And I'm asking again for God to give us clarity about who we are and clarity about reaching our community with the gospel. Clarity about how we can best impact our community, our city, and our world with the gospel. God, give us clarity about how we move forward, clearness about your plans for us and all that we're to do in this coming year. And I remind you of what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 12. Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us and us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then he said, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And I'm asking God for clarity for myself, and I'm asking for it for you, and I'm praying you'll make it your prayer too. God, give me clarity. Give me a clear vision so I'll fix my eyes and my heart and my attention and my affection on Jesus. And I won't let anything else rob me of my focus on Jesus. I won't look to anyone else. I won't allow the devil to blind my vision or my outlook. I'm setting my sights on Jesus and on heaven, and I'm not looking to the right or the left or to anything or anyone else. Paul said in Colossians 3 to set your heart on things above, to set your eyes and your affection not on earthly things, but on things above. God, give us clarity, clear-eyed focus on Jesus and on heaven and on heavenly things, a clear vision of God's plan and purpose and his calling for Carbondale. I thought of it earlier and didn't feel I was to share it first service, and I know everybody's got meetings after this and with parents, and I'm hurrying, but I'm going to just tell you, it's been years and years ago praying, and I was at the altar in this, well, most of my experiences happen at the altar in that sanctuary, and there I had a vision. I saw myself walking on a path with the Lord, and I won't take time to tell all the stories in that vision, but there was one point, it's the part that I remember the most because I remember that I grieved the Lord in the process. And I'd stopped on this journey, and the Lord was walking beside me. I'm following alone. And all of a sudden here, kind of over, I just remembered it was over to my left because we're heading towards a city. And I stopped there. And what was offered there was fame and wealth and position. And it wasn't like I was going to go there. I just stopped there for a while. I just looked at it. I just kind of lingered there a moment. And I remember looking back and I saw Jesus' face and he said, will you leave me for all of this? Will you leave me for all of this? And I could tell the hurt in his eye in that vision. And I turned around and said, oh no, Lord, I won't leave you for that. That stuff. I'll leave it all behind. I want to walk with you. And we went on. It wasn't long after that that all of a sudden I began to see, I hadn't realized it before, but Jesus was wearing a white garment of some kind, but I had on white too, but mine looked like, mine was pretty dingy. And all of a sudden, I remember I felt it as I knelt at that altar. I felt it and I actually said, I'm dying. This is dying. And as I said that, I realized that my garment was becoming as white as his. And I said, oh no, I'm not dying. This is life. This isn't death. This is life. And I crossed into his presence. You know what? I stopped. I've never been afraid of dying since then because I know what's ahead. Listen, I want clarity to keep my eyes on Jesus at this stage of my journey, in this stage of my life. I don't want anything to distract me. I don't want anything to pull me away from living for Jesus and finishing strong. I want clarity. And as I drove to church this morning, Bryce, if you want to come back, they'll think we're about done. But we are. As I drove in and made the circle this morning to come into the church, I felt the Holy Spirit speak one more word of this sermon. And that word was courage. We need courage, folks, to be able to say, I'm going to serve Jesus no matter what. I'm going to serve Jesus no matter what anybody else decides. If everybody else goes off and serves the devil, I'm going to live for Jesus. If everything falls apart, if everybody dies, if it all turns out the way I never planned, I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to live for Him. I'm not going back. There's nothing to go back to. Take this whole world, we used to sing, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Folks, that's where I'm at this morning. I hope you're with me on this journey. God, give us wisdom. God, give us discernment. God, anoint us with the power of the Holy Ghost. Give us clarity. And God, give us courage to spit in the eye of the devil and tell him, it doesn't matter. Bring it on. If that's all you got, I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to serve Him. And with my dying breath, I'm going to serve Him and I won't stop. Stand to your feet this morning. Oh, let's give thanks to God this morning. Father, I bless you and thank you for wisdom this morning that's ours through Christ. I thank you for discernment, Lord, that we can tell the difference between what the world throws at us and calls success and what the kingdom of God says is success and blessing. I thank you, Lord, for anointing upon us as a church body. I pray, God, for the Holy Ghost to just be poured out upon us in a way like we've never seen before. I pray, Lord, for blessing and increase. I pray for souls to come running to Jesus. I pray for miracles, signs and wonders, healing to flow in this place, Lord. I pray for shackles to be broken off of people's lives, for bondage to be gone. I pray, Lord, for liberty to rejoice and to serve you. I pray, Lord, for victory to come where there's been defeat. I pray for peace to overwhelm those that have been swallowed up by depression and fear. And Lord, I pray for clarity that we'll see with a clear vision. We'll fix our eyes on Jesus and nothing will cause us to turn away or turn to one side or another. We'll keep walking with you until we hear that final call when you carry us home and we hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. We've decided we're going to follow you. Now give us the courage every day to live it out. Courage every day to live with integrity. Courage every day to obey your word. Doesn't matter what it costs us. We've got the courage that comes from being walking with you, Lord. Courage to live for you and serve you. And we're going to walk it out that way. Oh God, let it be for us today. Let it be for us today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord has flashed a yellow light in our assembly this day, and our lives can never be the same again because we've heard the truth that makes us accountable for what we've heard. And there is miraculous things in the future for us if we'll only follow the path that the man of God has shown us. We will walk with that in our hearts, and we will declare it to the people we know and live the life in front of them that they can truly say, these people have been with Jesus. They've been walking with the Holy One.
And now there's something laid at your feet today that makes you accountable. But it will be a life that you have never known that will bless you and take you in avenues that you didn't know existed. And he will comfort the heart of the bereaved today and give strength and power and anointing to do exploits in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it's late, but you know what? It doesn't matter. I feel like there's some people that need to take a step. You know, I'm one of them. I feel like it's kind of one of those drawing a line in the sand kind of days. And so if that's you, if you need to put a marker down today to say, I stepped across that and I'm going to live with courage and clarity and I'm asking God for His anointing, then I want you just to step out and come. Clayton, come on. I see you coming, brother. If God's just spoken something in your heart, you just need to kind of make a little stand. You're putting something in the ground. Just come on. We're going to take a step towards Him today. It's stirring your heart that you're saying, I'm making a decision today. I'm stepping beyond where I've been in the past, and I'm moving towards God's wisdom and discernment, His anointing, His clarity and courage. I'm saying yes to Him. You can get as close as you can get. You won't be able to maybe get all the way through the aisle. I don't know, step on up. But we're just moving down here saying, Lord, it's for me. You're speaking to me today. There's not any instruction other than just to cry out to God once you get here. To say, Lord, I'm meaning business with you today. Let's sing that, Bryce. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Lord, we mean business with you today. We mean business with you today for us and for our family. There's nothing to go back to. There's nothing to go back to. There's nothing to go back to. Nothing that we're going back to, Lord. We're going to serve you and live for you. We're going to please you and honor you, Lord. We're saying yes to you today. Oh, God, let it be. That we're pledging, Lord, we're going to follow Jesus. No turning back for us. The world behind us and the cross before us. No turning back. Nothing to go back to, Lord. We're going to press on. It's too important. There's too much at stake, Lord. There's too much at stake. So we got to make it.
Take this home.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, God, stir our hearts this morning. We're selling out this morning. Take the whole world to give us Jesus. We're selling out this morning to Jesus. No turning back for us. We're the people of God. We're called to obedience. We're called to a cross. We're called to sacrifice. But we're called to victory in this thing. There's victory for us. Victory for God's people. Victory for God's people. Oh, hallelujah. Let it be, Lord, as we obey you. Let it be, Lord, as we pledge ourselves to obey you. We'll not walk in sin or compromise. We're going to walk in victory. We're going to walk in integrity. We're going to walk in your blessing, Lord. Oh, God, let it be for us, Lord. Let it be for us, Lord. Let it be for us, Lord, that we surrender to you today. We surrender to your calling. We surrender to your plan. We surrender to your purpose. We surrender, Lord, to what you have for us. The call of God on our lives. We answer to you today. No turning back for us. No turning back for us, Lord. We're going to walk in obedience to you, Lord. Let your anointing be upon us today. Oh, God, let your anointing be upon us today. God, let something miraculous break out in us today. Oh, stir us today as never before. Stir us as a church as never before. Call us, Lord, to wisdom, to discernment, to the anointing of the Holy Ghost, to clarity, God. Give us courage. God, give us courage to live, courage to testify, courage to speak the truth, Lord. Courage to never compromise our faith, to walk with you, God. Help us to walk in holiness before you. Help us to walk, Lord, in the path you've laid out for us. Oh, Lord, we don't have to be afraid if we're walking in that path you've laid out for us. We'll trust in you, Lord. And we won't look any other direction, not to the right or not to the left, not the fame or wealth, not the pleasure, sexual pleasure, sin, nothing out there, Lord, nothing out there, nothing out there. can take us away from our call to walk in obedience to you. Oh God, let the desire of our heart be that we'll please God above everything else, Lord. Let us walk in obedience to you. Oh Lord, take this whole world. Take this whole world. Forgive me, Jesus. Let's sing that to him one more time. Take the whole world. Forgive me, Jesus. Take the whole world. Forgive me, Jesus. Oh, you can have it all. Give me Jesus.
Take this whole
world, but give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus.
Take this whole world. One more time, one more time.
Take this whole world, but give me Jesus.
Take this whole world, but give me Jesus.
Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For 2018, Lord, I've received it in faith. I believe it, Lord, for your wisdom, for your discernment, for your anointing to be upon us as a church in every aspect, Lord, in all, every decision we make, Lord, that we have your discernment, your wisdom, your anointing. Lord, that there be a clarity about everything we do and the way we're headed, Lord. That all of it is about testifying about Jesus and lifting you up. It'll never be about anybody else getting credit for anything. Always it'll be about Jesus. Make it clear the path we're to walk, and we'll walk it in obedience. And God, give us the courage to do everything you call us to do in 2018 as individuals and as the church of Jesus Christ. Let it be, and we will forever give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Shout to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for victory that's ours as we serve you today in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. We got a good start to 2018. Believing for great things for all of us. May His blessing and grace and favor be upon you and prosper you on your way. Some of you are going to a meeting. Some of you will see you for prayer tonight at 6. Come.